Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit, who right now is resonating in our hearts and revealing to us your presence and the word that you want to speak deeply within us tonight. Help us, Lord, to hear your word and to respond to that. Help me, Lord, to break open your word to your people. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. There's something about the experience of, as we move in the Easter time and Easter tide, we've been through the Easter Triduum. There's such a kind of build up to that, and often when you come through it, there's a kind of sense that people can be a little bit, they can kind of have faith fatigue or Easter fatigue, you know, after it. And often it gets demonstrated around the church sometimes is that people are quick to kind of whip things back into the shape and get back things to they were before, whatever before has to look like. But it kind of represents kind of a sense of, let's get back to what we know. I'm going fishing. Peter knew fishing. He was a fisherman. Let's get back to what we know. Let's get back to day-to-day life, because that's what we know. You know? And so kind of it's this drawing within us to get back to what we know. But what we experience in the resurrection accounts is this continual clash of worlds. And Jesus is constantly breaking in, already in the world, but bringing his presence, his resurrection presence, drawing all of history and all of experience into that resurrection experience. And so the disciples are kind of strange, really, in John's Gospel, because they have experienced the resurrection, they've experienced the risen Lord, and they've also experienced in John's Gospel something of the sending of the Holy Spirit. Remember last week? Receive the Holy Spirit. But they sound a bit downbeat, don't they? I'm going fishing. It's not exactly, you know, I'm out on the streets of Jerusalem, I'm going to go fishing for, you know, souls. It's like I'm going fishing. Back to day-to-day life. So they're a bit sort of downbeat. I can relate to a little bit of that after the resurrection, after Easter Triduum. And there's something about this where Peter's at, because, you know, he's now a man sure of his passion and love for Jesus. You know, he's experienced his fatal flaw. Because remember, Peter said to Jesus, you know, everyone else might fall away, but I would die for you. And we remember Jesus' words, you know, this day, when the cock crows three times, you will have denied me three times. So Peter loves the Lord. There's no doubt about that. You know, it's Peter springing out of the boat. You know, as soon as John, who's at the foot of the cross, you know, John who leaned on the heart of Jesus, John who knows Jesus and believes when he's in the tomb and he just sees the grave cloths, we're told he believes. Hasn't seen the risen Jesus, but he believes. And Peter needs that intimacy of John with Jesus to say, it is the Lord, and he's off. He springs into the water and he's in there wanting to get to Jesus as quickly as he can. But he's, you'd think he'd be a little bit cautious. You know, maybe Jesus might have a few things to say to him. Where were you, Peter? Where were you at my greatest moment of crisis? I've heard a few things. You know, no recriminations from Jesus at all. And Peter kind of senses this. He knows, because the experience of the risen Jesus is so consistent with the Jesus who died on the cross, who he walked with, whom he knew. And yet he is the risen one. You know, in that second reading, there's a beautiful vision of Jesus as the Lamb on the throne, You know, every knee shall bow. All of creation will give praise and glory and honor to the Lamb on the throne, who is eternal, who has busted through death. And once you break through death, there is nothing else that can overwhelm or overpower or have any control over you. It's hard for us to conceive life without death. But that's what we're called into in resurrection faith. And here is Jesus, the one who's broken through death, who has victory over everything and over sin. And yet we have him, or John's gospel has him serving breakfast, has him calling out to the disciples, children, this translation says friends, but children, have you caught anything? Put out to the starboard. And we experience in the resurrection experience of Jesus abundance. There's an abundant catch. But it speaks to us of this abundance of God's grace as the risen Lord being poured out upon his disciples and upon the world. And they have this abundance of fish that they catch. So Jesus, the risen one, comes in great humility and service, a servant authority, so consistent with his earthly life, his pre-resurrection life. They know him. No one has to ask, but there's something different about him too. So Jesus comes in service and vulnerability. How much more vulnerable can you get than to say to someone, "Do you love me?" That's both a vulnerable question to ask and to answer. Do you love me? Do you love me means you have the possibility of rejecting me. That's why we don't ask too many people, "Do you love me?" Turn to the person next. No, don't do that. That's why we don't ask people too much, because sometimes we carry a great wound of rejection. We think they'll say, that's a difficult question. Give you some thought. Think about that. Jesus puts it right out there. But the context of it is that he has embraced Peter. He's embraced the disciples. He's made them breakfast. And we heard that sort of almost Eucharistic tones, didn't we? He blesses and breaks the bread and he distributes to his disciples. Something else is happening here. Jesus is refounding his community. Where he was central to it and he founded it in his disciples, he called his disciples and apostles and he founded it around himself. Now in his resurrection life, he is refounding the community around the one he will choose to lead and the Eucharistic presence, his presence. So he's refounding. This is an incredible act of refounding. And we're told that in this exchange between Peter and Jesus, Peter's a little wounded when he hears the third time when he asked Jesus, when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter's sort of hurt that he's asked him this third time, "Do you love me?" But in this exchange is also Peter being lifted out of himself to actually hear himself say, "You know, Lord, I love you." We have to hear that in ourselves. We have to hear it lifted out of ourselves. "You know, Lord, I love you." You have to hear it in our own voice, penetrating our own hearts, saying, "I love you. I love you, Jesus. Not I do a lot of things for you. Of course, why would you ask me that? I'm here on Sunday. Could be home doing a whole lot of things, but I'm here. You don't have to ask that. Say it. Say it from the depths of your heart. Because, see, that's the action of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. given to us. What happened to Peter? That he could be out in the streets of Jerusalem. Here he is, as the disciples often were, under great persecution. You know, brought before the Sanhedrin. And here he is saying obedience before God is more important than obedience to men. And we will keep proclaiming the name, even though we will imitate Jesus in his death and his resurrection. We know that will cost us. Where does Peter get this strength from? He says it, doesn't he? He says that all those who believe and obey are given the Holy Spirit. One of the saints talks about that once we've been through the waters of baptism, there's no other waters necessary for rebirth. He says the only waters that we can constantly be renewed in is the waters of tears of contrition. The tears of contrition. That's what opens us again and again to God's Spirit. That's what opened Peter to a new relationship with Jesus, to receive his love and to speak of love to Jesus. He wept when he realized he could deny Jesus three times. He wept, but they weren't tears. Well, they weren't tears that gave the fruit of self-pity and rejection and withdrawal from Jesus. What did they do? They made him break through from all of that into a deep trust and longing for Jesus. So that when he ever experienced Jesus, when he heard that it is the Lord, he wanted to be there with him. Wherever the Lord is then for Peter, he wants to be there with him. You see, because the Spirit within us cries, you know, Abba Father, it's the Spirit within us that cries, Jesus is Lord. It's that where the servant of the Lord is, there the Lord is. Because the servant always follows the master. And we hear at the end of this whole exchange with Peter, we hear Jesus say to Peter, right at the end, he says, after, do you love me the third time? He says to him, follow me. You're now in touch, Peter, with your fatal flaw. You know that it's possible for you to actually turn away from me. But I will fill you with my Spirit. It'll be no longer in your own strength, in your own sense of your own power, or your own sense of natural kind of loyalty. It'll be only now in the power of the Holy Spirit, which is always manifest in great vulnerability and brokenness. And that's what Jesus does. He comes to the disciples in his risen life in great vulnerability. And he comes to us in incredible vulnerability, just as he did on the shores of the Lake of Galilee. He comes to us on the shores of St. Benedict's at the altar here in great vulnerability, saying, do you love me? Do you love me? I love you. I'm broken and given to you. And as we will hear in the Eucharistic prayer, every time we receive the Eucharist, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. So I want to invite you tonight to allow this this presence of God's Spirit in you to release in you a response to the Lord speaking to you. Do you love me? I want you tonight to open to his Spirit, the Spirit given to us, to all who obey him. I want you to open tonight to tears of contrition, like those of Peter that turned him back to a great passion for Jesus. Because there's none of us here that are so filled with the Holy Spirit that there's nowhere else for the Spirit to go within them. We are all in need of God's Spirit. And we're all in need of renewal. And the sad thing is that at times, even people who have walked in the grace of the baptism of the Spirit for years and years, there can be a hardening of heart. There can be a calcifying of the heart. There can be even an arrogance and a pride that says, I know that, I've been there, I've done that, there's very little that I don't know now. That's so sad. Because there's so much more that the Lord wants to do with us and open our hearts and heal in us. So I want to invite you tonight, if you feel that your kind of heart's hardened, it's all become a bit, you know, ho-hum, that I'll just move through the motions and actions, I invite you tonight that you would open up to tears of contrition. It's not about self-pity or what I've done wrong, but it's like a softening of the heart. That I'm really thirsty for you, that the same passion that Peter had in his heart, Jesus, that he would explode from the safety of the boat to be with you, that would be the passion in my heart, or that you might renew within my heart tonight. And finally, that we'd allow the wounds, the risen wounds of Jesus, his Spirit that flows from his heart, from his broken body, from those risen wounds, that touch into the wounds in our lives. That we'd no longer be so filled with ourselves that there'd be no room for the Holy Spirit, but we'd be emptied out. And a people who are on a journey to be renewed and refreshed and open to the Spirit. Let's pray tonight for God's grace and for the gift of faith to grow within us tonight, that we would be a people who welcome and are open to the gift of God's Spirit in these days.